flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We thought of an even better name for this segment, the Barroom Brawl. These are topics that come up in the barroom from time to time, Donnie, don't they? And isn't that the crux of sports, is arguments like this? You've had them, right?
I've had plenty.
So have I. I mean, a lifetime worth of them. They're little comparisons. Who's better? What's better? And I'm going to start out, if you don't mind. We'll spend about a minute on each. You ready?
Go ahead.
Which is the best of all the Steelers Super Bowl teams?
I'd go 75, the 1975 team.
Which, why?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you could pick almost any in that 70s era, but it at least felt like that team was accompanied by the offense in that Super Bowl. Like, you know, the first Super Bowl win against the Vikings, that was more of a slog, more of a rock fight.
Yeah.
Whereas you saw the offense emerge in that Super Bowl, make some iconic plays, and the defense was still at the height of its powers.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick. I would go with 78, the team that beat the great Cowboys team. Like, the first Cowboys team didn't have Tony Dorsett. So the reason I would do that is, even though they flashed some offense in the Super Bowl you're talking about, they really weren't a passing team yet. But man, once they changed the rules because of Mel Blunt, they don't win in 76. They come back. So I guess it's really the 77, 78 team. Yeah, the 78 team. You know, the one where Jackie Smith was the sickest man in America. Mm-hmm. That game had more talent on the field than maybe any football game ever played in terms of Hall of Famers. And then you had people, you had Chuck Nolan, Tom Landry, and everything else. I think they faced stiffer competition that year. They weren't old yet. They were getting there. I think that's the greatest Steelers Super Bowl team. What do you have in mind, Donnie?
If I said that Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger, Cordell Stewart were 1, 2, and 3 in Steelers quarterback history, who would you say is number 4?
First of all, I might disagree about number 3.
You can throw somebody else in there if you want.
Kenny Pickett. No, I'm not saying Kenny Pickett. Limits, you're going to go for Trubisky, aren't you? You have the Trubisky train on there? If you might.
With Lanny at the end?
Yeah, I think Neil O'Donnell, honestly.
So I was going to say him at number 4. So yeah. You think he is ahead of
Yeah, and I don't buy the argument either that I've seen so many. I heard, was it you guys the other day? Somebody saying if Cordell played nowadays, he'd be like a Hall of Famer. He didn't have the passing part of the game down. He wasn't a good passer. You know, is Justin Fields a superstar? Justin Fields is an electric runner, but he doesn't have the passing part down. You know, so I disagree with the notion that Cordell just, you know, sort of was born at the wrong time for starring in the NFL. He was an unbelievably inconsistent passer. And you just have to be that to be a star. You look at other guys who came into the league. Jaden Daniels. Woo-hoo! It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Would be a primary example. And there's other guys like, you know, Tebow was a pretty good runner. He was a bulldozer, but he couldn't throw. You have to be able to throw, Donnie.
What's wild about Cordell is that he received MVP votes.
He did one year, yeah. Yes, he did.
And Ben never did.
So didn't Justin Fields get an MVP vote a few years back? I believe he did.
Yeah, I think his second year maybe in Chicago. Yeah.
Yes, he did. That's a good one. Well, who would you say?
I would have had Neil O'Donnell at number four. I would have had Cordell ahead of him, and I get your points there. I mean, Cordell had better seasons than what people want to remember. He had obvious shortcomings to his game. But obviously, one and two, Bradshaw or Ben, whichever order you have it in there, as far and away as possible. There's a gigantic gap. Then you get three, four, and five. I would actually say, if we want to kick it out to a fifth guy, I think Tommy Maddox actually has an argument as number five.
Yeah, he might.
I mean, the man came in here. He was comeback player of the year. He won a playoff game and almost won a second one if it wasn't for Joe Nedney.
What about Mr. Let's Ride? You thought he might have a chance for about six games this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, now, whole body of work, he would trump a lot of those guys, given what he did in Seattle. But if we're just counting what happened here.
Yes, I was being sort of sarcastic. No, but for a while, it looked like he was ready to take off this season.
Broncos country, let's ride.
All right, I got one. The best Steelers Super Bowl play, Donnie, after the James Harrison pick and the Santonio catch, the third best Super Bowl play in Steelers history, in your not so humble opinion.
So I'm going to be biased here. I'm going to go with one that I saw happen.
Okay.
So you're going to have your pick of all of those big plays of the 70s. I'm going to go with the Willie Parker, or no, I'm going to go with the end around to Antoine Randle L, the pass to Hines Ward in Super Bowl 40.
Yes, I love that pick.
I was going to go with the Willie Parker run, but that gadget play was what pretty much put that game away.
And I'm not so sure that Randle L ever got enough credit for that. I've had people, I forget whether it was Ron.
He never does.
Somebody I was doing the show with said, well, he was a college quarterback. Yeah, I know. Like 6 years earlier, and he was asked to come into the Super Bowl with 100 million people watching and throw a ball on the run one time. It's like the golf shot. You know, you only get one. This ain't the range. And he threw a spiral, a perfect throw that the guy caught in stride at the goal line. It's one of the five best passes in the history of the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best pass by a non-quarterback in the NFL. I mean, and plus, you look at that game, too, considering how Roethlisberger played.
Yeah.
That was probably the best throw from anybody in a Steelers uniform that night.
Not even close. You're right about that. That's a great pick. And there's many picks, right? The Lynn Swann catches, all kinds of things have happened in Super Bowls. But I'm going with this one. It's in the game you referenced earlier. It was Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swann in the first Dallas Super Bowl. And the ball traveled 60 yards at least in the air, and he unleashed it as he was about to get concussed. I forget who hit him, Charlie Waters, Cliff Harris, maybe one of the safeties. He was concussed on the play. And delivered a ball 60 yards in the air that dropped into Lynn Swann's hands in stride at the goal line. One of the reasons I always say that Terry Bradshaw is the greatest clutch deep ball passer of all time. The greatest clutch deep ball passer. Go back and look at that play, Donnie. You and I will together on the brief intermission we're about to have And it was just ridiculous. It was phenomenal.
He was a big game player.
Yeah, man.
Bradshaw.
And it wasn't big game dink and dunk stuff. It was, I'm here to win the game. You know, you'd argue the Stallworth throw and catch against the Rams. What do you got, Donnie?
So your answer to my last one sparked this one for me. If it was Cordell Stewart or Justin Fields, which guy do you prefer?
Holy bird follicles. I didn't expect this question. Cordell.
Pretty easily.
Yeah, we're just talking Steelers tenure.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right? Or just which player would you rather have? Like, which player would you rather mold from his rookie year type thing? Wow. Okay. That's a little different question. Cordell was, listen, I'm not putting a D on Cordell's career. He was unbelievably spectacular as a runner and not a horrible passer, but just not a very good passer. They're very similar. I would say Cordell's a little bit more spectacular of a runner, but Fields is bigger and stronger. So I might be enticed if we started on day one with either one and I could hire, you know, Bill Walsh in his prime to work with the guy, it would be probably Fields. You?
I think I would go Fields just for the modern times, but man, I mean, Cordell, when he came onto the scene, really seemed like a special player there for a minute. I mean, his rookie season when they went to Super Bowl 30, it wasn't like he stood around. Like,
no.
That was the birth of Slash, where he was doing everything. And, you know, I've been watching Super Bowl 30 this week on my treadmill walks, and I'm seeing Cordell make plays. I'm seeing Cordell get balls out of the backfield. I'm seeing him run short yardage plays.
Phenomenal electric talent.
Fourth and short.
Yeah.
And then he had some banger runs in his day. Like, you think of the one against the Panthers. He had one against Cincinnati, I want to say, or that might have been a catch and run, but whatever it was. Like, he was, I know you don't like the argument that he was ahead of his time. He felt a little bit like that to me. Now, he had shortcomings in the pass game, but he was a special athlete.
I got one more for you. We'll wind up on this one. You got one drive, Donnie, to save all of mankind. And goodness knows it's never needed saving like it does now. One drive to save mankind. You're on your 10-yard line. There's a lot of pressure there, Donnie. I mean, mankind is hanging in the balance. Who's your quarterback? Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, or other? Who you got, Donnie? Who's your guy that can save the world?
Man.
It's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I always love the Montana story from the Super Bowl when he spotted John Candy in the crowd and then he just easily drove them down for the win against Cincinnati. For me, I got to go with Brady or Mahomes. I think still right now I would go with Brady.
Yeah.
It soon may turn to Patrick Mahomes.
Not me. I'm going with Mahomes. And I saw every big game Brady ever played, as did you, I'm sure. You're not that young. Saw every single big game he played, and Montana and Bradshaw. Like, if you told me, you know what, you got to settle for Bradshaw as the guy to lead this drive in his prime, I'd be very okay with that. Do we have that Trey Wingo clip we can wind up on here? I don't know if Donnie heard this one or not. It's the most unbelievable stat I think I've ever heard in football. It's about late clutch drives in the final minute of the biggest games, playoff games. Listen to this, Donnie. Just listen.
From the official CT Sports podcast.
Since 2001, there have been 125 drives
in the NFL's postseason where it was at least the fourth quarter and there was under a minute to play and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer at the start. These are your standard clutch moments for a football team, the do-or-die drives that win and lose critical games. Out of those 125 drives, only 40% of the time did the team on offense pull off the magic trick to get the points they needed. In other words, a touchdown or a field goal to either win the game or tie the game and send it to overtime.
Yep.
Some of these quarterbacks are really good at it, such as Tom Brady, who was 5-for-11 in those situations in the postseason, 46%. Or Drew Brees, who was 3-for-6 in his playoff career, 50%. Only one player is perfect.
Oh, my God.
And that's Patrick Mahomes,
what?
Who was 7-for-7. In
7-for-7, Donnie. I got the world at stake here, all of humanity. I'm thinking he may go 8-for-8. Brady was great at it, like Wingo just said, at 5-for-11. That means he didn't do it 6 times. This guy's 7-for-7. He's the greatest clutch quarterback who ever lived, and he's about to do something maybe that nobody's ever done in the Super Bowl era, which is win 3 straight. He annoys the hell out of me. I'll admit that. I was watching again the Super Bowl from two. I watch old Super Bowls too, the one from 2 years ago. Where they had that crap holding call.
On Juju. Where
they didn't call holding on anything. Offense, defense, or special teams. The whole game until it's time. And then you saw Mahomes point at it. Like, oh, there it is. There it is. You got me? Refs, you got me here? Oh, it's just infuriating. But you know what? I think he's the greatest clutch quarterback who ever walked this planet.
The other wild thing about them in the Super Bowl, too, and about him specifically, is that he has had a couple of slow starts. You know, they'll go into the locker room, they'll be down 2 scores.
He said he likes it that way.
And, you know, I felt watching a season where I even had a small financial stake in the Chiefs winning the game. They go down by 2 scores at halftime, and it's a rare time for me, just as a regular guy betting on a sporting event, thinking, I'm not even worried. Patrick Mahomes is going to bring them back.
7-for-7. Thank you, Donnie. I loved our first edition of Barroom Brawl. Limits, your take on that?
I thought it was great.
Yeah?
Lots of insightful questions that I would be getting in a lot of arguments with my friends.
That's the idea. Donnie, I think that was a smash hit.
And we could do that next week too, Joe.
Yeah, we could.
And maybe the week after that.
And I think we will. Coming up, Nick Kostos. Never too early to start thinking about Super Bowl bets. This guy is absolutely incrinculent. We'll talk to him next. And then we have Bechtold's breakdown coming up. We have a quiz show all about this Steelers season. Some little inside trivia about the Steelers season that our friend Limits has cooked up here.
I think you're going to like some of the line of questioning here. It's got a comedic tone to it a little bit.
I think I'm going to love it. Join Pony and Muller. Today, I guess, right?
Yeah.
At Buffalo Wild Wings, Mount View Drive in West Mifflin.
I'm going.
Beautiful.
Yeah, my friends and I, a lot of my friends are right around that area. We're going to go and say hello to Pony and Muller and Cabali.
I love it. You should, too, out there. The PM team will broadcast live from 2 to 6. Stop by, register for your chance to win free wings for a year. Donnie, as soon as I saw this promo a couple weeks ago, you were the first person I thought of. Free wings for a year?
That B-Dubs is close to me now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah and I only live down the street from Limits, so that's our nearby one.
I wave to Donnie when I drive home.
Now, do you guys ever get together for dinner or watch a game together since you live close to each other and you're both from Waynesburg?
We should do that.
In other words, no. But you should, yes.
He's got a pool over there, too.
I know. I've been there. Beautiful place.